Good morning. This podcast is brought to you by Home Theater Solutions. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. HTS specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call at 800-690-2029 or visit them at htsav.net. 3, 2, 1. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's happening, brother?
Good morning. What are we doing? Which podcast is this?
Welcome to the Rehoboth Social Podcast.
Oh, the mothership, the flagship.
The ship has landed.
The flagship podcast.
Well, listen, so we are...
I'm listening.
I don't know what day we're into now. Do you have a count? Do we have an official day this whole thing started?
We're like in outer space right now. We don't know what day it is, what time it is. Just follow the sun.
So listen, you know, the Rehoboth Social Podcast has always been about small business, one small business helping another. You know, we've done, I don't know, 180 podcasts with small business owners, big business owners. You know, it's
you've
always,
done, yeah.
Well, definitely. You've done some with me, but
yeah, I'm in the background.
The whole point of it is, it's really just about small business. And this has been a huge test on what? Small business, right?
Big time.
It's been the flu for the small business.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you doing, man?
I'm okay. You know, just got my second cup of coffee. I'm dealing with it as well. And you know, you and I are both small business owners, and it's been challenging for sure. And something that came out of the blue, I think 3 weeks ago, three, 4 weeks ago, you and I were borderline inappropriately making fun of the whole thing. And here we are sitting on our hands and eating it right now. And didn't think it would get to this point. You know, within a matter of days, federal government and local state government literally shuts the economy down, affecting hundreds of thousands of people across the country.
And that's kind of a funny subject, really, because my business was not listed as a business that needed to shut down, nor was your business. So it was really about trying to be helpful to a community. You know, I've always talked about the fact that I feel like we've gotten away from community. We've tried to treat like the United States, which we love, but the United States is not a community. It's a community on the world, but it's not a community for us. Rehoboth Beach, Delaware is our community. And we could have probably stayed open, but you mentioned and I agreed. The sooner that we all got on board with this.
With what?
You know, trying to, you know.
Got on board with.
Stay in place. Not touch your face. for the people that are listening, if you've heard if you had to hear the "don't touch your face" speeches from corporate, you'd jump off a building.
Raise your hand if you want another lesson. Everybody, raise your hand.
Exactly. So, but you know, I think we both agreed that it was more appropriate for us to close our businesses down.
We want to be supportive.
Yeah, we want to be supportive because the longer this goes on, the longer it hurts, the more people it hurts.
It does. And, you know, in the beginning, there was definitely this mentality or perspective of, you know, I'm not going to get sick. This is, you know, the government is taking this too far or we're overblowing it. And now we see the numbers climbing dramatically, or they were climbing dramatically. And to your point, Tom, you know, if everybody just starts taking it seriously and practices social distance and not touch your, wash your hands, sanitize your hands and not touch your face, this thing will actually go away much quicker.
Right.
So, and I think I heard through a family member that Delaware is close to or has peaked, apparently. So we could be on the, don't quote me on that. I think that came from NPR radio, but we could be on the downward side of the curve right now, but I don't know for a fact. That's what I heard.
Well, and honestly, and I've watched, I don't watch the news. I've watched, you know, I get all my news really from podcasts. And I was watching
Joe Rogan.
Well, he has important people on. It's right. Unfortunate. I mean, that's where I get my news. But he has
your news source is a stand-up comedian.
Well, he's a guy. He's definitely in a position where he's got a lot of ears listening, but yeah. He really is just like us. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's what I like about him. He's like, listen, I don't understand. Let me have somebody on that can really teach me. And he had a guy there was a guy on that he had last night that we're talking about that the Spanish flu, the biggest, like when that happened, the biggest killer of the Spanish flu was really the second wave. So, you know, this is really a time where we have to be especially careful because, you know, and I had the conversation with you yesterday. I'm like, I think I feel like putting out an email saying I'm going to start tentatively taking appointments for the salon around the middle of next month. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, is that a little premature? You know, do I need to be careful and not get caught up in the excitement of maybe this coming to an end and then starting a second wave?
Well, there's definitely going to be a spike. I mean, all the models and forecasts are going to show that because once the floodgates are open, people are going to go back outside and people who are asymptomatic are going to pass it to other people who are going to be touching their face and get sick. I mean, that's what's going to happen. So the question is, did we do enough to limit the number of people who are carrying the disease during this phase? That's going to be the key. Is that did we do enough in our communities around us to keep people at home, to let the virus and the disease take its path, and those who are asymptomatic, the healthy ones, the younger ones, when they start to go back to Starbucks and sitting in their coffee shops and going back to work and going back to, you know, large gatherings, are they going to pass it to people who are basically not going to wash their hands and start touching their face and get sick? And then we'll see a short spike.
Right. Well, and I think that's what we have to be careful of because we don't want to screw it up even more.
Right. Right. And I think, and I know, I know, and I try to have some level of self-awareness. I know that I'm exhausting to listen to when I talk about not touching your face, but it's paramount.
Well, you it know, is paramount.
It's the primary transmission point.
Well, and listen, we, you know, the message has been put out there. This podcast is not to put that. I mean, don't touch your face. That's that's the message. But we're not going to spend an hour beating that drum. I mean, people need to figure that out. What I do want to talk about is, so there are some programs out there, and I am not a PPP expert. But I just thought I would like to share my experience.
What does that stand for? PPP?
Payroll Paycheck Protection. Well, is it program or protection?
What? Paycheck Protection Program.
Right. Well, I didn't know.
Paycheck Protection Program.
Paycheck Protection Program. And I, when this first came out, see, I'm always the guy that's like, whatever. I'll be fine.
Right.
I'm not a guy that right away. I have such a small business, you know. It's
you're
my
a sole
life.
Proprietor. Yeah, you're a sole proprietor. It's different.
It's my life, but it's much smaller than something like the plate you're dealing with. So I immediately think, I'm gonna just, you know, I can make it through this. But really, there's some great programs, or at least that program is been put in place to really help guys like you and guys like me. So I went ahead and reached out to my bank, Community Bank. Thank you, Community Bank. You're dealing with PNC, which is another fantastic bank. But I reached out to my bank. I cannot tell you how quickly they sent me the application. The guy, Steve, over at Community Bank called me within 15 minutes. And between you and thank you, because, you know, we joke and we laugh and you make fun of me and I make fun of you. But, you know, you're when it comes to shit like that, you've always been a great help to me, and you helped me kind of work through some of these numbers because, listen, I cut hair. Matt always used to say, don't smoke crack and pay for hookers and it'll all work out. And that's been my philosophy. But anything past that, I start to struggle.
It says owner. Is that me?
Should I capitalize that? So, but you know, you helped me, and then Steve over at Community Bank was a big help. And one of the first things that I did when I started this business was I hired a payroll company, and ProGar over in Lewis, they had all the forms ready for me. Uh-huh. They sent them all over to me. It really took me, between you helping me, Steve helping me, and then, you know, just getting it together, it literally took me about half an hour to put it all together. I went over to Community Bank, delivered it. He actually sat down with me. We looked at the numbers. We were almost right. We almost got it right. So we readjusted the numbers and away it went. And it was that right. quick. And it was actually turned out to be quite a big chunk of change that right. I didn't realize. So I was very grateful for that program. We'll see how it works. Mm-hmm. You have the same experience. What was your, has been, and what is your experience like with the PPP?
Yeah. So, when Urban Float officially closed, I don't remember what that day was anymore.
It was a Friday.
It was March 21st or something crazy. It was like 3 weeks ago. And, you know me, Tom, I went maniacal and dove headfirst into the deep end with, all the government relief and programs that are out there because, you know, Urban Float has only been open for, 14 months, if that. And, I just did a lot of research and PNC, same experience, super helpful. Now they're a bigger, national bank. And, so they're getting slammed with applicants because the program is designed for small businesses less than 500, which is probably the biggest base of customers that any bank has. And I went, I went through two and a half, three days of paperwork to compile all the payroll numbers. I had that Urban Float has 13 employees. So it was a large task to get everything right because there was a lot of requirements and stipulations and formulas that calculations that had to happen and for me to submit the application and got that done. I shared that experience with you. I told you that you were eligible too, even though you're a sole proprietor and you went for it. And the cool thing about Community Bank and the smaller banks is that they are more agile. You're able to turn things around. They are able to turn things around faster because they are smaller, and it's great that they are participating. So, the PNC and Wells Fargo and some of the national banks are just getting slammed. Citizens Bank, everybody's trying to get a spot in line. And there's $250 billion that has to be passed out to small businesses throughout the country. Yeah, so far in this round. And then there is the economic injury disaster loan, which they call the EIDL. Which you should also apply for. And you can get a $10,000 advance.
Now, is that the Delaware Help Program?
No, it's the Economic Injury Disaster Loan. That's directly from the Small Business Association from the federal government. And that's a loan that is not forgivable.
So let's make one point clear that the PPP program is a forgivable loan.
If you use it for payroll and operating expenses.
If you don't, it's a 1% interest loan.
It's a low interest loan, right.
And from what I understood, the guy said that 75% of that loan can be used for payroll to protect your employees. Mm-hmm. And then 25% of that loan can be used towards like a lease or bills.
Right. Correct. Right. So that is I think that's a part of the EIDL, I believe. I don't think it's I believe it's a part of the EIDL, the EIDL loan. I also applied. Yeah, so the PPP, sorry to go back and forth. The PPP is a forgivable loan if you use it for payroll and operating expenses only. And I believe they will cover you for 2.5 months. Have to bring everybody back.
And real quick, just how that number was figured out for me was I basically, through my payroll company, we took an average of my gross pay for 12 months.
Correct.
And then you average that out and then times that by 2.5.
So it's rolling 12, not annual. So it's a rolling 12 months. So keep that in mind, folks out there who are listening. It's rolling 12, not January to December, not calendar 12.
Right. And the point that I brought that up was that it was all documented. This isn't numbers that I just pulled out of the air and said, look, this is what I want. It's all documented. And then they gave me the 940 and the 941s, which basically showed those numbers.
Correct.
And then that's where we got the numbers. So
yeah, underwriting for the PPP is very simple. Apparently it's a rubber stamp. They look at the number, you have all the documents, and there's very little underwriting or or credit checks and things like that. They just approve it and they disperse the loan. Depending on the size of your loan and the size of your bank, you probably get the turnaround really quick. Someone like me, who's not big at all. I don't have 500 employees, but I have, you know, I'm just probably a step or two above, you know, your salon, Tom, and probably an extra couple of weeks for me, and probably someone like, you know, Sodell or some of the larger ones, probably going to wait a little while because there's a lot more paperwork. And then there's the second part of the relief program is the EIDL, Economic Injury Disaster Loan, and for which if you do get approved, you can get $10,000 advanced immediately from that loan, which will then also be credited and used to subtract against your PPP loan. So that's kind of cool. There's a check mark on that loan application to advance you $10,000. From that loan, but you can use that loan or use that advance against your PPP, which is really, really cool. So you can get access to $10,000 pretty quickly. And then that loan is a bigger loan. It's not forgivable, and you can use it for anything you want. But I think you can get up to $2 million. For that program, for larger businesses. And, but most people are probably, I mean, unless you're a huge, huge, you know, company, you know, most people are just going to go for the PPP to bring people back on payroll. You have to bring everybody back on payroll by June 30th is the deadline. So it's an interesting conundrum because the federal government is saying they're going to pay you they're going to basically fund your payroll for 2.5 to 3 months. And, but what they won't fund is the revenue that you've lost. So, which is, you know, it's fine, but you're basically hedging a bet that when the doors are back open, you'll have the same amount of revenue coming in, you know, as you did before, which for many businesses will not be true. I think for right. Thomas David Salon, it will be. I think you and your hairdressers are going to be slammed because people aren't getting their haircuts. So there's going to be an absolute need. The women and men who do their nails and pedicures and manicures, they're going to be slammed because they're you know, summertime and people want to get their nails done. But a lot of other businesses, retail, and they won't have the same amount of business. So even though the government is funding expenses, there is no additional money to fund marketing.
Right.
That's still a challenge. And I would imagine that the federal government is got to be thinking about that because marketing expenses will go down because there's a limited amount of funds. There's a lot of capital that's been lost as a result of this. And, but it's nice that the government's trying to bring back employees to not overwhelm the unemployment agencies.
You know, we have to be honest. I mean, you know, it's about the people, but really it's about the United States. I mean, if they don't do something, we could really be in such a pickle that we of course will recover, but it would take a lot longer. I mean, this is really for the big picture.
Yeah, it totally is. And
I'm cool with it. I'm cool with the big picture.
Yeah, well, you know, we're having a good time, you know, and we're having fun. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast Network is a nice escape from the stress of that. Right after this, I'm gonna probably get a quick workout in and head to the office and get back to work and try to get caught up on stuff. And but yeah, this is it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But the sooner people practice social distancing, keep their hands clean, not touch their face, this will by far go away much faster, and more people are not compliant with that and do mass gatherings or small gatherings or medium-sized gatherings, this will not go away.
Well, and the nice thing for me, at least, and I can only speak for myself, is that this program has allowed me to just say, fine. You know, when this kind of had begun, you know, I was like, I could probably sneak a client in, do an appointment here, do an appointment there. Well, I mean, listen, you know, I'm not as
well. I didn't take it seriously either, man. Like, listen, I was also debating whether I should be closed or not, you know. And I was closed for about a week, and you were sneaking in a client here and there. And I think it finally sunk into you that this is pretty serious.
Well, I mean, this this money that being allowed to get has really said, okay, fine, stay home, which I have been, you know. Well, and the other thing is that, you know, as much as we, you know, want to sneak around and kind of do some of the things that we were doing, we're not helping the situation. And no. You, and I knew this, and I still know it. You know, we have a huge community of people that are going through the same shit. You know, one of the different, this situation, how it's so much different is that, you know, before we've had like, you know, maybe one industry that's struggling and we've all been able to kind of help that industry. But this, in this time, it's every industry.
Yeah. And really neat short story from yesterday. We were in the float center and I was, you know, we've got hundreds of emails and voicemails to get back to with people. And we're slowly chipping away at that. And a local community member who is a bartender in the area, she swung by and bought some retail products from us to support us. She bought two 50-pound bags of Epsom salt. Wow. from Urban Float. And that was really awesome. I was so touched by it. And she was actually buying one for her, and she's offering the community to go around and get products for people. So shout out to Nicole DiMarzo for her selflessness and her support of local business. So it was awesome to see her. So yeah, it was really cool. I loaded two 50-pound bags of Epsom salt in her trunk, and off she went.
Well, you know, the funny thing about that is that sometimes it just takes one little thing like that, right? You know,
right.
You can be kind of in this dark place, and then it just takes one person, and you're like, okay, maybe there is a chance. You know, maybe there is a light to the end of this tunnel. Maybe there is, you know, maybe that level of fear drops down a little bit. Just sometimes it just takes one act from one person, and that's important. You know, that's very cool. It's a great story.
Yeah, it was really neat. And she, you know, she's super, super sweet. She's a great restaurant worker around here. She's a manager at Nalu in Rehoboth downtown and a sweetheart. And she also walks dogs as a side gig as well. And so it was awesome. And she swung by and we spent about half an hour. And like, you know, she paid with her credit card. And I was like spraying it down with hydrogen peroxide, wiping her credit card down. And anyway.
Well, that's cool. You know, the other side of this is that, like you said, one day we will get back to business and it's going to be a little bit crazy.
Yeah, and thank you I will do it definitely on behalf of all the small businesses out there. Right now, I'd like to personally thank for all the people, the patrons, the people who are either retired or who are not in small business, and appreciate all the support. And you know, for the restaurants that are continuing to do takeout, and businesses like retail, you know, small retail shops like myself, and it's super appreciated and loved, and it's super important. The roads are empty, man. I don't know if you, how was it driving up to Milton?
There was people out. I mean, it wasn't completely empty, but it's
lighter. I should say empty, but it was lighter.
Yeah, it's clearly lighter.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and you know this, you know, because yesterday was the day that I found out that we're going to get some money back. So now, you know,
you're excited.
I was thinking maybe
the second time you said that.
We might get some takeout tonight.
We going to Sizzler.
No, we're going to get Chinese.
Oh, I wonder if Confucius is doing takeout. Well, that's expensive Chinese, but yeah.
Well, I think we might try to Sakatumi. I heard it's.
Oh, yeah?
I heard their Chinese food's really amazing.
We did. We bought three Nicobolis, frozen Nicobolis. We have them in our freezer. Maybe we'll do those tonight. I don't know.
Well, I think one of the great things about our area is we have so many great restaurants. So hopefully, you know, we can start supporting them. Plus, we're supposed to get money from the government. What's up?
That's the fourth time you said that. Here's what you said. A little comic relief, everybody. Here's what you said. You know, I was sneaking a person in and into the salon every once in a while, and I was feeling a little guilty. And then once I found out that I'm going to get a little money, fine. I'll take it seriously. No problem.
You're the only one laughing. Well, listen, not all of us are elite like you, son.
I didn't say I was elite.
I think there's a lot of people out there that are balancing between, you know, trying not to let go of their small business and also trying to participate in basically doing absolutely nothing. So for me, it was a big deal, you know?
No, it's a big deal to me too, man. But it's funny that you highlight it. But it is a big deal. It's a super big deal. And,
did you just cut your face?
I'm with my
sleeve. Dude, the coronavirus can live on the sleeve.
Oh, jeez.
Such a scam artist. You probably got some.
Oh, now I'm a scam artist.
You probably own some sort of stock in don'ttouchyourface.com. Visit our site, don'ttouchyourface.com.
I'm evangelist for don'ttouchyourface.com.
You're probably selling shirts on there.
Yeah, don't. Hey!
I was gonna get a shirt that said "Flatten the Curve."
Well, that's funny because I say that I saw that shirt yesterday, Fast Eddie's.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, on you.
Flatten the curve. Oh, this shirt. Yeah, I did. I'm behind.
But anyway.
I thought that when it says stand in place, I thought that meant don't take a shower for a couple days.
Yeah, so.
Dude, when I wake up in the morning, my back's so jacked up. I just grab something with my toes. Just whatever's on the floor. Got something. I kick it up in the air and I grab it and I put it on.
Wow, that's so funny.
At least anyway, it was inside out. So.
Yeah, I noticed that, man. We're all getting a little lazier, which is fine.
Well, it's fine. I think that's the same North Face hoodie you've been wearing for the last 3 weeks.
three months.
3 months. My day jam.
Oh my god! I got my jammies on still.
So what else is going on?
Well, we got that, you know, and I think this is a great time for small business to hopefully. You know, if they want to come on to Rehoboth Social Podcast and talk about how they're dealing with it, I got a text this morning from a good friend in the area who's also doing something similar, Brian Payton, and I think we'll get on that one, get on his show as well, and we just have to continue to support. One thing that we've noticed, Tom, we can talk about this, and when this all first went down, you know, what were we doing? We were outside riding bikes. You want to talk about our little escapades riding bikes together?
Oh, you mean me following you around? Come on. It'll be fun. I got to do this by myself.
That was going to be the funniest thing I've heard about going on a bike ride. Yeah, you know what? It was nice being half a mile behind you.
Yeah. It's not like I got a half mile behind you and stayed there. I know. It's not like you just slowly
and left. And for the audience, I wasn't doing that on purpose to show Tom up. I just happened to be on a hybrid bike that was a little faster than his cruiser. And I'm looking back with his forearms on the handlebars, this tongue hanging out.
My tongue was not hanging out. I was sampling the humidity. I was checking to see if it was humid.
And then we would stop about, you know, right at his intersection for his neighborhood. He got off his bike, started wailing his arms around at me. You know, I could have done this by myself. And there's not a lot of people lined up to go on a bike ride with you, pal.
No. Well, and let's give a shout out to Lewis Cycle. Because those guys are great over there. I didn't know that store was open. And they're actually, I think, I had talked to those guys. They actually want to come on the podcast too. Yeah. I posted, you know, we've all been, we don't badmouth business, but we've been dealing with.
Yeah. Be careful. Be careful.
So we're just excited to see this.
Be careful.
You know what?
Some of us don't have those kinds of muscles, man.
Yeah. If I did say, I mean, most people would agree. But we're just excited to see those guys over there. I had posted a picture. So we had gone on a bike ride and ended up over there, and one of the guys gave me Brian?
Yeah, Brian, and is a family owned business, Brian Kelman, I believe is his name, and his, I don't remember his wife's name, but they recently purchased that cycle shop from a previous owner, I think a year or two ago. Nice family. I bought my road bike there that's, I have not taken out since he's tuned it up like a month ago. I turned you on to him, and nice family run business, like most retail shops around here. And they're really cool, and they're practicing social distancing. They're not letting anybody into their cycle shop. They do all their point of sale from their entry point of the door, which is kind of cool. You can do that too for the salon. You can cut people's hair on the outside. So,
give me the green light.
No, I'm kidding. You're actually getting you too close to people.
Yeah.
No. So, but no, good shop. And, he's definitely doing his best, and they're busy. And here's why, because people are spending more time outside with their families. And you have made this point to me over and over again. And it's sinking in that what the coronavirus has taught us is to let go of the gluttony of the pleasures of us being taking advantage of all the technology and luxuries of life and forcing us to be with our families and get healthier. I think we're all battling corona fat. I know I am, but I'm trying to work out 2 or 3 days a week. I can see you, Tom, you're also battling corona fat. So it's just, we're all trying to, you know, get a little healthier. But you know, we're all trying.
Chair's making me slouch.
Me too, man. You just don't happen to see my entire. That's why I wear the sweatshirt. So it's
well, that pocket thing that's in front of your hoodie. It just elongates your gut. So you should find something a little more slimming.
Like I know,
Spanx or something.
You know, as you said to me many, many months ago, I've given up. I'm a dad and I've accepted it.
Yeah, what's the point?
What's the point? I've given up. You know, you come in, your hair is all styled out. You look like you're from Seattle. You're sporting your EV12s with your dark jeans and your flannel shirt on. And you're rocking it. Clearly haven't given up. But
today I'm sporting the EV11s.
Yeah, yeah.
The EV11 UGs.
Look at that, man. The Uggs. Yeah. No, it's cool. You know, hopefully this weather will turn around, continues to turn around, and we'll spend more time outside. It was fun going on bike rides with you by ourselves. We discovered the Lewis Rehoboth, a great thing to do, folks, is to go on the Lewis Rehoboth trail. The Junction Breakwater Trail. You can take it from Gordon's Pond all the way up into the state park, Cape Henlopen State Park, and through Lewis and back down. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun. It's a good workout. You can take it on your cruiser, on your mountain bike.
It's a 17 mile loop.
Yeah. I mean, when we did it from when we started out in the Holland Glade Road, 17 miles on one loop.
It's a good way to shake out the cobwebs. I am not a.
Totally. Totally.
I'm not a, you know, I've, yeah, we've talked about this. You know, I enjoy running. I like biking some. I like biking just to kind of bike. You're more of like you rely on that as your only workout.
Well, you know, I used to be a runner and I used to do that stuff, but my knees, you know, I'm heavier up top now. My knees can't take it and it hurts. And I've got tendonitis on my left knee, but I'll run with you, man. So I just don't run fast, and I get winded and stuff, and it's just painful. But biking is easy on the joints. I can go pretty hard and get a good workout. And I think according to my Apple Watch, I was burning like 600-700 calories on those bike rides, bro.
Yeah, me too.
So it was awesome. So thank you for doing that with me behind me.
And I let my kid use my bike, so he got a flat. So I had to head back over to Lewis Cycle, and they fixed my tire.
And that's awesome.
They did it in like 5 minutes. So super great guys over there. Super excited to have.
Yeah, Kelman family, super nice folks. And support all your local businesses. You know, the local businesses, your local bike shops in Rehoboth and in Lewis and in Milton. And
what do you think of are you wearing a mask now?
When I go out, I only do the mask. Like I go to the grocery store with latex gloves and a mask. I don't do it for me. I do it for everybody else.
Right.
Because so I, I,
I think that's a good message to get out, is that I think people think that wearing a mask is protecting them, and really it's protecting other people.
The purpose primarily is to mask is to protect your hands and your face. It's not, you know, breathing it in is not, you're not going to breathe in. You're not going to breathe in the virus. The likelihood of that happening is very, 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 very minuscule. You have to be trapped in a closet for 20 minutes with another person who's infected. But yeah, you can help when you cough, you know, you project your droplets out apparently less than 6 feet, and it prevents the spread that way. For sure, there's definitely that aspect of it. But, you know, as I said, you keep your hands and don't touch your face and you're not going to get sick. So, but I do it for the, you know, I do it to be supportive and not to.
So not you do to, wear a mask?
I do.
Okay.
Do you?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Do you wear latex gloves?
I do.
Yeah.
I wear gloves.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. The mask is weird. I haven't quite.
Yeah. Cause it looks funny. Mm-hmm. It looks funny. And you're a guy that's kind of vain.
Well, it's not even the look. It just feels pretentious. Like, it feels like I'm judging other people with this mask.
Right. I see that too.
And
I see that too.
I don't care how it looks. It's just when I feel like I'll walk the trail or go for a run and people will go by me and they'll pull their shirt up, you know.
Oh, I saw that too.
They pull their shirt up over their face and I'm like,
I saw that too.
Like, you know, I feel like, you know,
while they're touching their nose as they pull their shirt up, it's like stupid.
Like, they don't want to breathe in my air.
Right, right.
And it really has nothing to do with that. It's really about releasing droplets around other people. That's
right. And I don't think we've talked about, we might have talked about on the Broken Stoke podcast, but on Rehoboth Social, I mean, you have a bigger audience here, but I want to spend a couple of minutes just explaining that concept. And we don't have to get into it for 20 minutes, but just quickly, if you haven't seen Dr. David Price from Weill Medical Center on Vimeo, he does a 52 minute seminar. From the heart, from the epicenter of this whole thing in New York City, Manhattan, about the spread and the symptoms and the protection of your family with COVID-19. He gets into great detail. And to sum it up really quickly is the overwhelming, the data from China, Italy, Paris, all the hotspots, New York City, says the primary transmission of the virus and the disease is from your hands to your face. That's the primary transmission. You have a very, 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 very minuscule chance of getting it through the air. He basically said, and it's a very empowering statement, if you keep your hands clean through sanitizer or washing your hands and not touch your face, you will not get the disease. He kept saying that. And it took me 3 times to watch the video for it to sink in. But when it finally sinks in, it becomes very empowering. And you feel like I don't think I'm going to get sick, because I've made a contract with myself every morning when I leave the house to not touch my face. And I always wash my hands. If I touch something, I wash my hands. If I touch something that's foreign outside of my house, I wash my hands and I don't touch my face. And that was his point. If you just Google on Vimeo.com, Dr. David Price, COVID-19, his video will pop right up. It's trending, you know, and it's an important message. I wish the media would talk more about self-protection instead of like the spread and the danger and people getting sick. Even these physicians going on Fox News and stuff, they're all just talking, they're just feeding the fear and not getting into the real roots of the spread of the virus, Tom. Right?
I think the message is starting to get out. I think it's evolving. We're evolving with this. I think, you know, we clearly saw how people reacted early. We see how people are reacting now. I'm definitely just looking at myself and my thoughts on it. I've evolved. I think the part of the you know, flattening out the curve, you know, I don't think we understood that, but I do think we're starting to see the results of that. I think the people that initially in the beginning were having big events and we weren't, I don't think we were, any of us were really taking it serious. And we saw the effects of that. And I think we're starting to see people take it much more serious. And whether it's with masks, gloves, washing your hands, don't touch your face, yada, yada, all that stuff, it's all starting to sink in and we're starting to see some results. And I think that's where it's going to be, you know, we got to be careful because like me, I want to put out an email and says, look, I'm going to start taking appointments. This guy last night was saying probably June, July.
I mean, right. So,
but that's a guess. So who knows?
Well, you know, and there's an apparently there's an NPR. I think I told you this off air, but there's a NPR forecast model that's suggesting that Delaware could be coming over the hump right now and coming on the other side of this whole thing. So, if that's the case, Delaware is definitely doing a great job in practicing and following the guidelines.
And can I also say my sister-in-law had the coronavirus. She was tested. She's a healthcare worker up in New Jersey. Tested positive, was very sick, but she went back to work on Monday. And so there is, you know, some positive. You know, she never went on a ventilator. I think I'll be interested to find out, you know, I said this before, you know, I feel like this is the disease of the gluttonous. And I read an article yesterday that a lot of people that have gotten this were really predisposed to it, whether it's through weight, through smoking, through whatever it was, it definitely took attacked the weaker, you know, kind of symptoms quicker. And
well, totally. I mean, so there's also another model out there, or there's a study, an Oxford study that apparently is under peer review right now that is suggesting, or could possibly suggest, that 90% of Americans have already had COVID-19. And there's already an immunity to it, and that what we're seeing in the media is the hot spots, the people who are, to your point, who are susceptible to it and getting it quickly. But it's under peer review right now. I think it's Oxford Medical, and I don't know. There's studies everywhere, you know, and there's forecasts everywhere, and forecasts and models and studies are all based on what? Assumptions. They're all based on assumptions. So
last night when I was watching Joe Rogan's podcast, he mentioned that there are some of these beach communities where people from the city are, when this all started, tried to head to their second homes at beach communities, and how these beach communities were like, no. Yeah. And right. They talked about our amendment rights and the right to have, you know, to go where we want. But it was different this time, right? I mean, people,
yeah, the coronavirus is like, you know, the coronavirus cells were like, hey guys, we're taking a road trip to Delaware.
So, well, and I'm sure Delaware is just awful. One example of that. You know, they took,
yeah, I mean, you saw, dude, like all these New York tags running around Route 1. Jeez,
well, someone posted a picture of a senator from New York at the Chick-fil-A drive-thru in Milford. So, God. You know, that was interesting too, but I think that like me not doing like side work on the side and people staying home, whether it's our right or not, we really all had to kind of get on the same.
You know, board. The Howard Stern show, right?
Right.
So they're all doing their show remote from home. And I believe there was a rumor a lot of them were doing it from their vacation homes. And Robin on the show, I don't know this for a fact, but she loves Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And apparently, I don't know if this is true. I have no idea. But I saw something read somewhere that she might have been broadcasting from Rehoboth Beach, and she had blacked out her background. Because I think she might have been, her background might have been the boardwalk. So there's an example, right? She's from Manhattan, right? And she's right. Broadcasting from Rehoboth Beach. I don't know where her, she could be Long Island. I have no idea. You know, right. Joan, you know, Jones Beach, who knows? But yeah, people are coming down to their second homes and they say, you know what, if I'm going to quarantine myself, I'm going to quarantine myself from my vacation home. And actually I had that conversation from a friend of mine from Dover, a neighbor who's like a teacher in Dover. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to come to my vacation home. And why would I spend my quarantine time in Dover, Delaware? I'm going to come to my Rehoboth Beach house. So interesting.
Well, makes sense. Luckily we just live at the beach. Yeah. So what's it going to be like when this is done? What are you going to, what's Urban Float going to do to fire up the wheels and get life going again?
Well, so from a business perspective, I'll just give some basic business guidance, at least from my perspective. I think every small business should spend this time reaching out to every one of their customers, as painful as it sounds, and having a personal, try to get one or two touches out to on a phone call or emails and reach out to everybody. That's a productive way of spending your time and try to maintain that human connection with your customers. And we're just telling, you know, and try to communicate that you're going to be open as soon as you can. And that will just hopefully happen and prepare yourself for taking the time to clean out and rearrange and deep clean the float center. I'm sure a lot of businesses are doing that. I think, what was it, McDonald's, or there was a, I can't remember, it was somewhere local in this area. There was a patron that was tested positive for COVID, and they closed their center, their facility quickly, and they just did a deep clean. It was a public facility.
I think McDonald's actually repaved their whole parking lot. Well, and that's the other thing I've been noticing, like a lot of street work and stuff. Well, they did. I mean, a lot of
maintenance is getting done, right?
Yeah, a lot of people have taken advantage of this, you know, the lower amount of people, and
yeah. So I would highly suggest take this time to deep clean your facility. I would suggest to reach out to every customer via phone, you know, and at least leave a message. No one answers their phone. Hardly anybody answers their phone these days anymore. So leaving a message is at least one way to make sure everybody knows what's going on. So prepare, get yourself ready to go, clean out, just reorganize. You know, I actually have, you know, I'm working with my accounting team as well, and preparing, and it's an opportunity to restart. Unfortunately, you know, it's going to be under a challenging time with a lot of small businesses don't have bigger business cash flow to weather this storm, and many small businesses are not, you know, unfortunately, I hope they come out of it, but the government's going to have to answer for this. I don't think the relief is over either, Tom. Do you?
No, it'll be, I'm sure there'll be a few versions of this, because I mean, there's still, I mean, and you mentioned it, about revenue. There's, you know, this PPP program that we talked about earlier in the show, it covers, you know, paychecks and lease, but there, like you said, there's a lot of money that I did not make. There's, you know, I have people that,
and the government's not paying for that. Well, for you, they are paying you on your payroll, but they are not, you know, they're not covering your losses for revenue. They're covering your losses. They're covering your employees' losses.
And I have two people that do chair rental from me. And I, you know, when this all started, I said, listen, don't worry about the rent.
Right.
You know, take care of yourself. Make sure you guys are good. And, you know, we'll talk about that later.
That is awesome of you, man. You know, not every landlord's doing that. You know, and I don't blame landlords for, they need to pay their bills too, but that's nice of you to do that. And that goes to show that you're a swell guy, Tom. You're
Thank
swell.
You.
Hey, keep guy. Cleaning. I see you cleaning on the video. Good job. Good, do your part, pal.
I got my wipes here. I'm getting,
yeah, it's awesome, man.
Well, and listen, we'll get through it.
Yeah, we will.
You know, 5 years from now, we'll look back and be like, damn, that was crazy. Remember that?
And you know, what's the other thing is crazy? Our kids homeschooled, online school, right?
If you want to call it that.
Right. Well, you know, I'm literally, I might have to take those shock things from the medical center and like revive my kids out of bed to get up to go to online school. Clear, you know, because they're not getting out of bed. They're getting out of bed at like 2 before the Zoom meeting.
Yeah,
you know.
That's how my son was this morning. I'm like, what time do you have to be up? Oh no, 8:20. I go, well, it's 8:15. I'll be there. I'm like,
that's exactly right. No, same here. And who gets the blame for that? The parents. Right.
One of the teachers, somebody had posted something, and one of the teachers had written that this is like going to war overnight with a shovel. You know, it's like we were completely unprepared, and that's right.
Going to war with a shovel. That's a great way of looking at it.
It's nobody's fault, but we were clearly, and this is like one of those things. What, now we throw a bunch of money at preparing for something like this, and it never happens again. I'm sure something like this could happen again, but.
Well, so that's a great segue. Like, we talked
like,
about this
like
too.
Like increasing our budget here in Rehoboth for snow.
Yeah, but you know, we talked about this too a few weeks ago, Tom. I think it's poignant, right? I do think there's quite a bit of positive that can come out of this. You know, when you think about the events of 9/11 and the 2008-2009 crash, what does come out of it is we do have a period of hurt. But we do have a large period of prosperity. Smart people will invent things. Smart people will create new companies. Well, it doesn't, you know, whether you're smart or not, innovative people will create. This is where capitalism shines, in my opinion. you know, and this is why this country is awesome. And it's why a lot of, this is why we're always the target of many things and criticism, but people come to this country, immigrants, people who've generational people from this country, born, raised here, create opportunities for themselves. And one cool thing is when this happens, we'll be better off. And I think we'll be better prepared. And then we'll go through this. It's sort of cyclical, right? So think about it. 9/11, 2001, 2000, 2009, 7, 8 years later, 2019, 2020, another 8, 9 years later. So it's kind of cyclical in a way when these things happen over at least the last, you know, 30 years or so.
Yeah.
So, but I think opportunity will come. I think smart people, innovative people will create opportunities, create more jobs, you know, and to protect us from something like this happening again. I think the medical community will be smarter out of this as well.
I've seen a lot of cool little inventions, like you mentioned a second ago. They're like on Instagram. It's full of inventions.
Right, yeah. Masks everywhere. Yeah, what,
it's not this cool one where it's like little, it's like a little silk bag and it, right. Your hand fits in it, but it clips onto your belt onto this like wire spool. And whenever you want to open the door, you slide your hand in the little bag and then the wire, you know, the spool stretches out and you can open the door and then you let the bag hang.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
That's pretty cool. I could get one of those.
Yeah. So we're going to see a lot of things come up. Some of it will fail, but people are going to try and some of it will be cool. I think all the big corporations will figure something out. I think good things will happen, you know, and there's going to be certainly a group of naysayers who are going to be like, oh, the end is coming. We're going to be in soup lines like the Great Depression. And there's going to be that group. And, you know, who knows? Can't predict the future. But, you know, if the recent past was any, you know, was any sense or sign of things to come, then, you know, we'll get through this.
Well, like we talked about the PPP program. There's a Delaware Help program. What was the other ones you?
The Economic Injury Disaster, the EIDL. They call it the EIDL, EIDL. That's the bigger SBA loan that's available as well. That's not forgivable, but yeah, there's definitely.
And most people definitely probably know this. We're probably
Probably late. It's old news now.
Yeah, but check it out.
But if you haven't gotten on it, get on it, guys, because it's first come, first serve. And right. Tom, you got in there early. You got in your meetings. You're going to get your money before a lot of people. So that's awesome.
Well, and the other thing that I found out was is I think the bank pays this out, and then the bank gets reimbursed from the government.
That's right. And so the bank, not like the SBA will pay the interest and all that stuff. So
yeah, so it's not like you're sitting around waiting like this. That the $1,200 that's supposed to be sent out to everybody, that's coming from the government. This check is coming from the bank. So it's not like we're sitting around waiting for the government to send this too. So yeah, check it out. There's a lot of programs out there. For a guy like me, you know, that's the difference between you and I. You're definitely a businessman. I am definitely not. So that kind of shit's intimidating. So it was,
you are, man. And it's just, you just choose not to be. It's not that you're not, you just choose not to be.
Well, the point was it's intimidating. These programs and these paper, these piles of paperwork, and it intimidates me. I'm not, you know, I cut hair. I'm not, there's a reason I'm a hairdresser.
Yeah.
You know,
but you're also a business person and, you're fine. And, you know, I got you started and you finished it and bam, there you go. So you're almost done.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Wait, was I supposed to say thank you?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I can't remember.
Well, listen, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, man. Super fun. I've always.
Check out our other podcasts if anybody's interested. The Broken Stoked, a Pearl Jam's fan podcast.
A Pearl Jam fan podcast. There's Anonymous by Jenna.
Jenna, yep. I'm not sure if anybody's been podcasting lately. I think we're all been kind of on a hiatus, but Tiffany's podcasting as well, with the film effect with Tiff.
The film effect and TNT, you guys have been doing it, right?
Yeah.
Nah.
See, I don't like, you know, this is fine. This style, you know, over to the computer and through the internet is fine for this. But, you know, we laugh a lot. Like the Broken Stoke podcast, it struggles for me because of the laughing. You know, you don't want to laugh over people. So I just haven't quite gotten used to it yet. But
I like to laugh at you.
Right. Of course you do.
That's why you're struggling. Let's be honest.
I think we could put up a partition here. We could be 6 feet apart here in the studio. We could open.
I ain't touching my face when we're together, bro. I'm going to be fine. Like, I'm not touching my face. I'm fine seeing you. I'm fine seeing anybody. I ain't touching my face.
Like your wife won't let you out of the house.
That's it. You nailed it. There you go. So you are very smart. See,
I'm a smart guy. All right, brother. Well, listen, thank you.
Okay.
Hang in there.
All right, pal.
And I'll talk to you soon.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.